Thank you, Keith, for your kind introduction. I realised yesterday, and I had one of those horrific moments where you realise you've become like your parents, that I was getting excited about how much I can push the boundaries and how amazing we can make our new allotment. It's gone from skateboarding to allotments. And I had one of those moments where I thought, I've become my dad. But even my dad doesn't garden. My dad's cooler than me now. No. So, anyway. Good morning, everybody. I'm looking forward to the new year. Are you? It's going to be a fantastic year because God is with us. Me plus God equals a majority. Hey. You can win with a pair of twos when you've got God on your side. It's great to be here. My name's Dave Jones. For those of you who don't know me, it's my absolute privilege to lead this congregation. And I'm just going to take a few minutes of your time just to kind of share a little bit about my heart for 2013, and then a couple of other points, one about kind of contending for our identities and stepping into what God's calling us to as a congregation and individually. And also, I want to say something off the back of what Jeff Wilson spoke about. Jeff's not here. Shame. So who's made a New Year's resolution? Hands up. Well done. Well done, everybody. Chloe and I have started running together as a couple. Let's see how long that lasts. I'm hoping it does. But, you know, the hard facts are that the majority of gym memberships last for 1 month that are taken out in January. But come on, we can do it, love. Yeah. It's that time, like kind of a new year, that balance between, yeah, let's make a New Year's resolution and let's kind of put a marker in the ground and we're going to go for this, this, and this. And actually, like the reality is, it's all about kind of how we live day to day throughout the whole year and kind of our ability to think clearly and to make good decisions and to keep our hearts in the right place and to deal with people appropriately and to deal with situations appropriately, just in the day to day grind of things, as opposed to going, yeah, let's go for something and then not actually following it through. Linda was saying something. The other day, she was saying, you know, loads of people put on Facebook, I want to laugh more in 2013. The question is how? You know, how are you actually going to do that? And that's kind of the tension between going, oh, you know, I want to go for this, but then actually thinking clearly and going, okay, so how are we actually going to do this? And I want us to kind of get both this morning, a bit of rah and a bit of actually, well, like, let's work this out properly. So I hope that's okay. Great. So I think 2012... As for the congregation, was a good year. We obviously had a change in leadership about April time. We had Riverfest. Could I just please ask just for just amens, hallelujahs, go for it, good words, all that, all the way through. Even if I don't say a particularly good point, just because then I'll stay encouraged. Holiday Blast was great. I feel like there's a really good feel on Sunday mornings. The stuff at the youth centre is going well. Wycombe's going fantastically. River Life is still going great. We've had some good socials. We've had guests coming along. We've started the conversation. Put conversation dates in your diary, please. Key part of our family life together. We've got good churches together, relationships brewing. The curry and the Kaylee was fantastic. We raised £600. It's good, Jay. We had good times on Sunday mornings. Dave Bull was brilliant. Carl Wills was brilliant. We had a series on culture of honour, which I feel is kind of like some yeast kind of getting in there. I feel like it's good. We talked about risk, being a family. Generally, I feel like it feels good. What do you think? Okay. For me, going forward on a high level, basically, we need to go for the mission side of family on a mission. Helen Davies gave a word to the congregation a while back about being a congregation who is both safe and dangerous. And I think we've got the safe side really great. It's an absolutely amazing community, but we need to get dangerous. So basically, you know, Jesus says, I will build my church. And he tells us the people of God, to actually go out and preach the gospel and teach the gospel and bring the kingdom in, you know, all its variations. But generally, the church seems to get it the wrong way around. We spend all our time building the church and praying, Jesus, just go out there and bring the people in. And actually, I think like our focus needs to be, you know, we obviously do the stuff that we're called to do. You know, we are diligent in, you know, operating, you know, church and stuff. But actually, the emphasis really is on out there. So for me, that's kind of a key thing for 2013. Back in December, you know, like how, you know, following the promptings of the Spirit, I think you need to kind of notice just coincidences and regularities and things that pop up. You know, it's one of the languages of the Holy Spirit. And one Monday morning at a team meeting, Andy Reid shared about the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower, there's this, you know, there's the farmer going out sowing seed. And the conclusion of it is that 25% of the seed reaps a harvest. And if you need to see, if you want to see more of a harvest, simply sow more seed. Simple equation. And I thought, that's a really interesting point, Andy. I've never heard that before. And then 2 days later, I was having coffee with a friend of mine. He's a youth worker at a Jubilee Church in Maidenhead. And he said, oh, it's really interesting, Dave. I was listening to this Willow Creek talk. Bill Hybel said, you know the parable of the sower, 25% of the seed reaps a harvest. And so if you need to see more harvest, you just need to sow more seed. It's quite simple. And I thought, that's really funny. I've never heard that before until 2 days ago when Andy Reid was saying it. And then the next day, I was reading this book called The Spirit of the Purple Cow, which is a crazy title. And it's a book about church leadership written by a guy who leads a church up in Stoke. And his church has gone from 63 people to 1,000 people in the last 3 years. And he's just kind of sharing some of his journey and stuff like that. And I kind of have given the book to the Marlow leadership team to read. And in that book, he says exactly the same thing about the parable of the sower. 25% reaps a harvest. So if you need to sow, if you want to see more of a harvest, you've got to sow more. And I thought, right, you're obviously kind of making a point there, Lord. We need to get sowing. We need to find the mechanisms to tell people in the town about Jesus. So that, for me, is the main thrust of where we need to go in 2013. It's just to find the ways to make what we currently do more effective and actually just find just the new mechanisms for just being missional together. The family on a mission, we need to do the stuff, get out there. Does that sound okay? Let's do it. So, you know, my heart is just for us to grow as a church. You know, all wherever there is life, there is growth. You know, if a garden is full of life, you know, there is growth. And so I just want us to continue. I want us to grow in numbers. I want us to grow relationally. I want us to be hungry for growth in our discipleship individually, in our understanding of the word and relationship with God and all that kind of stuff. It's all about growth. So, and deep down, my heart is for 10% of the town. We have a population of 17,000 to 20,000 people in Marlow. So that therefore means a church of 1,700 to 2,000 in the next 10 years. Let's go for it. I've got a couple of quotes. Life is unlimited. It expands with the generosity, compassion, inventiveness, and service that you contribute, by a guy called Jonathan Lockwood Huey. And a second quote, a man can succeed at almost anything for which he has unlimited enthusiasm. Charles Schwab. That's good stuff, hey? So let's be enthusiastic. Let's have God on our side. It's just a winning combination. And it's about us as a church and individually stepping into our potential. You know, God has spoken again and again to us about the calling on this church and the calling on us as individuals. And that is something that we need to step up into and basically just become. However, there are contentions for this. So basically, I want to kind of really talk about two main things this morning, which is, number one, the contention for our prophetic identity. Often, when a prophetic word comes, when a prophetic word comes, it is opposed. So God speaks and says, I'm calling you to do this. And often the opposite happens, but it's not that the word is not true. So Israel, just before they go through the Red Sea, God says, you know, I'm calling you to a land of milk and honey. They go through the Red Sea and it's wilderness and there's no food and there's no water and they want to go back. David, he's anointed as king. And then for the next like 30 years of his life, he's chased for his life. And he's hiding in caves. Joseph, he says, your brother's going to bow down to you. And then he's sold into slavery. Jesus, you're going to be the King of Kings. And he goes to the cross. And it's like, there's almost this kind of journey which you go on. God calls you to something. And you're kind of emotionally, you're like, yeah, let's go for this. And then it's like, the journey is, boof, next step, stuff starts going wrong. And I think what happens is we all go on a journey of having our characters prepared and our abilities increased. So in the same way that when you learn anything, you know, you go on a learning process, and the best way to learn stuff is through getting stuff wrong. You know, there's the practical increasing in our abilities. God's calling me to be an amazing teacher of children. I go into my classroom and the kids are just bonkers and I'm like, ah, this is absolutely awful. And then you learn abilities, and slowly, slowly, you go on a journey of becoming as big as the word spoken over you. And the same happens with our characters. Like, the testing point of the cross is like the ultimate testing point of the character of God. When he's on the cross, and he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's like showing love in that situation. David, in a cave, when he has the chance to kill Saul, he says, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. Joseph, when he's in slavery, he's still choosing integrity. He's choosing to serve in the low places, choosing to love God in the low places. There's something about when the Lord's called you to something great, being faithful in the small things and in the hidden places and in the low places, and when stuff's totally going wrong, that testing place where your character is prepared, where you make good choices, where you choose to love people, where you choose to hear from God and you choose to worship God in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of confusion, in all of that, that is what prepares you for the place of promotion. And stretching hurts. And giving birth to something hurts. Practically, you know, in life. Ask women. There's that phrase, how did you get so wise? Pain. Well, how did you get all the pain? Lack of wisdom. So, it says in Proverbs, you know, man prepares his horses, but the battle belongs to the Lord. And I really like that phrase. I think that's really helpful. It's kind of that participation of God and mankind together, that actually, you know, we have to do all that we can do. But actually, it's then, once we've done that, we offer it to the Lord so that he can do all that he can do. It's the same with the loaves and the fish. The boy goes, here you go, this is all I've got. And God goes, great, I can use that. And you know, Jesus says, he is faithful with in the small things, will be entrusted with much. And I love there's this little verse in Exodus 23:30, and it says, God says, I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. And it's kind of like this participation with kind of like God and the nation, little by little, as they take, you know, victory after victory. You know, they've gone from having all this kind of supernatural protection, and, you know, cloud of, and the fire, and the manna, and the quails, and all that kind of stuff. They've gone from, you know, 40 years of being on benefits, which is supernatural benefits, to actually saying, I'm going to help you, we're going to go on a journey now of maturing, where you are going to learn to become fruitful. So it's this participation with God in the low places, places of confusion, when it feels like God's spoken something glorious over you, but it's like the reality is, it's not like this, God. Actually, let's enjoy the process. Let's enjoy the journey. You know, God is a God who loves to walk with us. It's about growth, you know, gardening. You work with the seasons. You work with kind of the plants. It's the journey of becoming. Let's enjoy the process of becoming who God's called us to be individually and as a church. The second thing I just want to say, this is kind of a little side note, is as we step up, I'm just going to lay it out. This is where I stand theologically on something. Feel free to completely disagree with me. We shouldn't fear attack. I got, a few years ago, like, the Lord kind of gave me this, because people use, like, language, you know, I hear it a lot, is, oh, I've stepped up now, I'm going to expect attack from Satan. I got this picture, I was spending time with the Lord, and I got this vision, and there was this kind of covering over my head, and I popped my head up through it, and I was like, oh, this looks nice. And then instantly the Lord came and he put another covering over my head. And I went, what happens if I pop my head over that? So I popped my head through that parapet. And then he put another one and another one and another one. And he says, I'm your father. You can never pop, you know, you can never come out of my covering. I'm always going to cover you. You know, we're in Christ. Christ, I read it here, Colossians, he has disarmed the rulers and authorities. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them. We're in Christ, and Christ is in us. We don't need to fear attack. It's not a big, it's not a kind of yin-yang thing. It's God versus the devil. It's a big God and a little devil, really, really little. James says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The thing is, I believe that people come under attack when they focus on it, because the fear empowers it. What we focus on gets empowered. It gets bigger. So say if I'm like looking in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I don't like this bit of me. Oh, I just need to lose a bit of weight here. I focus in on it and it becomes this massive thing. And I was like, wah, wah. And you go to someone, oh, I feel a bit fat. I mean, I don't generally do this. Chloe, keep quiet. And they're like, that's absolutely ridiculous, because most people just look at the whole picture. Or it's a situation that you're frustrated with, maybe in church or something like that, and you focus in on this little thing, and suddenly you can't see anything else, and it's warm. And as you focus, it's empowered in your life, because it becomes, by default, because you're focusing in on it, this huge thing, because that's where your focus site is. If you're focusing on the work of the enemy, it becomes bigger. You focus on Christ, you empower Christ, and that just takes up all your vision. It's the fear that empowers. Guys, we're in Christ. Big, everyone say, big God, little devil.
Big God, little devil.
Big God, little devil. We're in Christ, and he's just completely been victorious over everything. That's a profound reality. So as we step up, as God's called us to great things, whether or not it be in our workplaces, in our family situations, as a church, you know, whatever God's calling us to, you know, the word of the Lord comes, and actually the situation may be completely the opposite. But that, I want to say, do not be dismayed. Take courage, because actually God takes you on a journey of meeting him in the low points. There's a formation of character. There's kind of a furnace process of your relationship with him, with your relationship with other people. And don't fear the work of the enemy as we go on this just journey of becoming as big as the word spoken over us. So, last thing I'd like to say is, last year, Jeff said this brilliant phrase, which was, the word of the Lord came to Mary and he let it brew. And I just kept saying that for weeks on end. I was like, Lord, what are you brewing in me? What are you brewing in? And a phrase would come to me and I'd go, I'm just going to let that brew. I'm just going to let that brew. I'm just going to chew it over. I'm going to mull it over. Just let it brew. I just love it. It's such a brilliant phrase. And then I kind of got this, I got another phrase. You know, it could be like, you know, directly from God, or it could just be me thinking something good. but basically, a cup of tea, when it's brewing, gets to a point where action needs to take place. And if it continues to brew after the point in which it's supposed to have been drunk, it stews. And I was like, the word of the Lord comes, And when whether the Lord comes about anything, whether or not it's about a new group or, you know, a mission or something that we're supposed to be involved in, or just, you know, just something about, you know, us and what we're supposed to be doing. You know, when the word of the Lord, a fresh word from God comes, it's really exciting. You know, there's this kind of, the Holy Spirit's on it and it feels good. You've got ideas, you've got creativity, you've got a bit of excitement, you've got hope. And then actually there comes a point where if nothing happens with that, disappointment can creep in. And you think, was that actually God? For whatever reason, you know, the brew didn't fulfill its purpose. It then begins to stew. And undealt with disappointments are a disease to the heart. When you have disappointments that you don't deal with, you don't take to the Lord and he brings truth on them, you get into hopelessness. And deferred heart, hope makes the heart sick. When we have disappointments, we don't deal with them. It just eats. When you've got no hope about a situation, it just makes your heart sick. So a stewed cup of tea, you know, there's a bitterness to it. It's disappointing. You know, when you've got a cup of tea and it's over-brewed, it's starting to stew and you're like, oh, man. And it's actually a frustrating thing because you're like, I've just made this tea. And I left it too long for whatever reason. I got distracted. I started doing my emails or whatever. I came back to this cup of tea. I can't drink it anymore. And it's disappointing. It's annoying. It's frustrating. But what you certainly don't do is continue to let it stew. It makes absolutely no sense. What you do is you pour it out and you rebrew. And I felt like, you know, the Lord say, you know, there are certain things in the church, certain groups or certain individuals, and we all kind of go on this process all the time because, you know, life is about relationship, it's about conversation. God doesn't speak about something and that's it, right? You've said that once, I'm never going to hear from you again. That, you know, that doesn't happen in conversation. Keith asked me to do something, I don't then just not talk for him for 20 years. It's a dialogue, and we're River Church, we're not Lake Church. It's about a flow, it's about a dialogue, it's a continuing, you know, it's a continuing journey, it's a process, there's a freshness to things. There's this place, you know, for dialogue with the Lord and say, you know, God, I felt like you said this, you know, you spoke this, you spoke purpose into this group or this mission or this aspect of my life. And for whatever reason, Lord, it feels like the hope's gone. It feels like the creativity's gone. It feels like it's just not working anymore. And the brew, the freshness has turned into the stew. So just what I'd like us to do really this morning is just to have a dialogue really with the Lord. I'd like us to do it in two ways. The first thing is, what we're going to do is we're going to send out a whole bunch of questions just for people's kind of personal time with the Lord. Questions to provoke just clear thinking and just reflection around, you know, relationships, involvements, relationship with the Lord, all that kind of stuff. We're going to email them out this week. And I'd like people just to take some time out and to just go over the questions with the Lord. But there's also space this morning, space in this morning, just to take some time out with the Lord and go, Lord, you know, are there any areas of my life where what was once brewing has now stewed? Where actually there needs to be, you know, I need to pour myself out again, just completely open my heart, my mind, my agenda, and just go, Lord, you know, I'm yours. Just pour on the fresh, hot water of your Holy Spirit. So perhaps, Tina, if you can come up, that would be great. I'd just like to think about, you know, just 2013 going forward. You know, this, I'm fully expectant of 2013 being a brilliant year. I think it's going to be full of healing. I think it's going to be full of breakthrough. I think it's going to be full of just lots of great things. It will probably be also full of hardship. You know, Jesus doesn't say life is going to be without troubles. He says, when troubles come, I will be with you. It's not going to be without sorrow. But I think there's a place for all of us to go, you know, Lord, I want to offer 2013 to you. And I've prayed that prayer, Lord, I want to give this year to you. I want to serve you this year. And I don't want to take any of the unnecessary baggage from 2012 into 2013. A hopeless Christian is an oxymoron, by the way. So if you could just play, Tina. Just what I'd like to do is I'd just like to read out a few scriptures over you. And let's just, as I do this, let's just begin a dialogue with the Lord. We're going to give 5-10 minutes to this. And if you want to pray with the person next to you, if you want to stand up, if you want to, you know, go somewhere where you can kneel down, if you want to come to the front and respond, and just do whatever you want. Let's grieve, you know, over some of the disappointments, over things that were brewing, which for whatever reason didn't seem to work out. But let's pour ourselves out, pour our hearts out, and just ask for the fresh rebrewing of the Holy Spirit. Malachi 4:2 says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go out like the leaping calves from the stall." Isaiah 43:18 says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Psalm 113, "He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy up from the garbage dump to make them sit with princes of his people." He settles the barren woman in a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Romans 15. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Psalm 23, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And he restores my soul." Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, behold, the new has come. Psalm 30, "You have turned my mourning into dancing. You took off my sackcloth and clothed me with a garment of joy." Father, I just want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you just breathe on every single heart and mind in this place. Bring refreshment, Lord. Where disappointments and frustrations have crept in, just ask that you just restore hope. You just bring freshness of your spirit. That we give 2013 to you. Take as little baggage as possible into 2013 from 2012. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you set our hearts ablaze, that we would burn passionately for you, that we would love you the way that we should. Lord, I want to thank you that there's no situation that is too big for you. There's no situation that's too messy for you, too complicated for you, too difficult for you. So I'd like to just encourage everyone just to not, if you feel like, the Lord's just really doing some stuff in you, which I know the Lord is doing across the place. I would like to just encourage you just to continue with that. If you want to come to the front, if you want to pray with someone, just don't leave here without having kind of done what needs to be done with God.